Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, in the days of Elijah and Moses and who else do we have up there? Ezekiel. Name your favorite prophet. One of the, they all brought the word of the Lord, declares the word of the Lord, as the songs say. Well, one of the famous leaders of the early church, was named John, and he wasn't John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, if you will. And it wasn't the Apostle John, this was another John. His name was John, and they would say, if you had no last name, where are you from? John of Antioch. And John of Antioch was born in 347 A.D. So after, about 25 years after Emperor Constantine said, Christianity is now legal in the Roman Empire. That's when John of Antioch was born. And of all things, John of Antioch had a dream of being a lawyer. And in those days, you didn't go to college. You went and you studied with a teacher, or in this case, another lawyer. And you just kind of studied one-on-one. And John was a great speaker. He was very eloquent. And his teacher thought, oh, I've got this great student. He's going to be the greatest lawyer of all time. Whoa, woohoo. And John, about the time he was 23, heard about a man named Jesus. And John became baptized. And John changed his career. He was no longer going to be a lawyer. He became a pastor. Some guys figure it out sooner than others, I guess. Well, John became a pastor of pastors. And where he lived, he was called to be the pastor of the capital. The eastern capital of the Roman Empire was in Constantinople, named after Emperor Constantine. He was called to be the pastor there. They call him the patriarch. It's like the bishop, the head guy, the number one head honcho. Right now, it's the head of the Eastern Orthodox Church, I think. Well, anyway, he's called to be the patriarch of Constantinople. And I guess his skill as a lawyer or his eloquence became quite useful for him as a pastor. You see, as patriarch of Constantinople, it's like the best place, or it's the second best place to be a pastor, right after Holy Cross. But he got famous for his great sermons. Everybody was listening to him. And they started giving him a nickname. And they called him, in Greek, they called him John Chrysostom, which means John the Golden-Mouthed One. Wouldn't you like to be called that? How many pastors wouldn't like to be called the Golden-Mouthed One? Silver-Tongued Devil, I guess it's the next closest thing. Well, he started preaching, and guess what? His preaching started calling some people to repentance. Repentance about things that were pretty rampant in the capital city. Greed, abuse of power, overindulgence in all kinds of things. And started to hit a little home, a little too close to home for the empress. Her name was Eudoxia. Eudoxia said, this guy is, I think when he's preaching, and he's preaching so eloquently, I think he's preaching about me. And so she tried to get rid of him, tried to send him into exile. And exile in the Roman Empire in the 300s was not the same as exile that you and I might think of. You know where they sent you? They sent you to Lyon, France. Great wine, but I guess it was the end of the world, the end of the empire. Anyway, so this was the plan, but all the people rose up and stopped the empire from sending John away into exile because he was so popular, because he brought the word of the Lord. He declared the word of the Lord. And Empress Eudoxia was frustrated. And all the clergy who were envious of John Chrysostom were just had to stay envious because he stayed there. Well, John Chrysostom, John the Golden-Mouthed One, had a great sermon about Transfiguration Sunday. He said, "A strange and glorious mystery do I see." Well, what is this strange and glorious mystery? Here we have Peter, James, and John, the great three disciples. And they all talk about this event, the Transfiguration. Transfiguration shows up in all the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Where does it show up in John, you might say? It shows up right at the very beginning. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh." What is that? Christmas. The incarnation, the Word made flesh, Christmas, and dwelt among us. "And in Him we have seen the glory, the only glory as from the Father, full of grace and truth." Where did John see that? Where did John the Apostle see that glory? On the Mount of Transfiguration. And not only is the Transfiguration showing up in the Gospels, it shows up in Peter's epistle. He says, let me read it to you, because I can't quote it. He says, Peter. He says, "We were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, 'This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' We heard ourselves this very voice born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain." Peter, James, and John were with Jesus on that holy mountain, and He was transfigured before them. Think of it. Picture it. Jesus is with you on the mountain, and all of a sudden, He starts glowing with this heavenly light so bright you can hardly stand it. And with Him appear the greatest guys of the Old Testament, Moses, who gave us the law, Elijah, the coolest prophet of them all, the one who beat the prophets of Baal. And they're talking with Jesus. This guy you've been walking around with every day. And you see their glorified bodies. And you think, wow, if you understand the resurrection, that's what I'm going to look like. Moses and Elijah, there they are. And they're talking with Jesus. Peter doesn't know what to say. So he says, "Good thing we're here. Let's build some tents." I don't know. What would you say? Feast of Booths. Let's build some tents. Well, good old Peter. I love Peter because he always says what's on his mind, you know? But they're amazed. And Jesus is glowing white and his clothes are whiter than you can imagine. So what does this signify? Glory, the divinity of God in human flesh, veiled in human flesh. Now, the point here is, why? And what happens next? Peter and James and John all of a sudden hear this voice. This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Who's he talking to? He's not talking to Jesus. God the Father isn't talking to Jesus. And I kind of think Elijah and Moses already got it, right? He's talking to Peter, James, and John. He's talking to you and me. This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Jesus, listen to him. Because of what he's going to do next, he's going to go to the cross. Now, Peter, James, and John don't get that yet. And he says at the end of the gospel reading today, don't tell anyone about this mountaintop experience because you don't get it yet. Wait until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. And what's the reaction of Peter, James, and John? They're terrified. They're terrified when they hear this voice. And why is that? Think about your own life. Why do you get terrified? Why do you have fear? Probably one of the first fears that you ever had was fear of your mom and dad. Because they know you. And because they know when you're doing wrong. And that's really the same fear all humans have had since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve ran and hid. It's the fear of guilt. Fear of the consequences of sin that are going to catch up to you sooner or later. Fear of getting hurt by that, or fear of guilt. Ultimately, the fear of death. That's why we can't see God. Because his holiness would burn our eyes out. It's so bright. Because in his presence, we sinful human beings, we just can't stand there. You ever tried to look at the sun? What does it do to your eyes? And God is brighter than the sun. That's why we need a veil. That's why Moses' face was veiled, as St. Paul says in the epistle reading today. That's why Jesus came in human flesh, veiled in human flesh, because we can't see the Godhead directly. That's why Jesus came. That's how we get to the transfiguration from Christmas. From here, Jesus goes to the cross. So when Peter, James, and John were falling on their knees, blinded and by the light and terrified by the cloud and the sound of God's voice declaring who his Son is, and they fell on their knees. What did Jesus do? stopped and he touched them. He lifted them up and said, "Look at me, here I am with you. I'm coming to be with you. I'm coming to touch you, to change you, to transform you, to transfigure you. So you don't have to be fearful. Because I will forgive you. I will take away your fear and your guilt, even your fear of death, by giving you the promise of a resurrection." And even so, Jesus comes to you here today. He comes to you veiled in bread and wine, because that's what you can handle. But within that is the power to transfigure you, the power to transform you, the power to make you a little bit more like Moses and Elijah are right now. More human. And the kind of human you're created to be. The kind of human you're baptized to be. The kind of human you're recreated to be in Jesus Christ our Lord. In the forgiveness of sins. In the promise of the resurrection. The resurrection to eternal life in new and glorified bodies. For the sake of and by our Lord Jesus Christ. So John Chrysostom calls it a strange and glorious mystery, because that is what Jesus does for you and for me. In his name, amen. I invite you to rise as we confess together the words of the Nicene Creed.